Fork Tales, a podcast that feeds the food and beverage world. Fork Tales is brought to you by Pavone Group and Vigor, a branding and marketing agency for restaurant, beverage, and hospitality brands. Learn more at vigorbranding.com. If you love what we're serving up, please give Fork Tales a 5-star review on your podcast service of choice. Think of it as a tip for good service.
Hello. Hey, today I am joined by someone I've known personally for a long time. His name is Jay Cipra, and he is the CEO of Roaster Company. Jay, say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, how are you, Mike? How you doing? First of all, thanks for the opportunity. Whenever I get a chance to spend some time with you, it's exciting, but also the opportunity to talk about Roaster is great. So thanks for the opportunity and inviting me on your show here. Roaster Company. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've been with Roaster Company for 19 years now. So long time. I could never imagine that I was going to be part of an organization this long, but it's been awesome, and it's been an awesome run, and looking forward to another 20 years or so. So it's the Roaster Company is actually a very interesting company, and something that, you know, you think of a small business within the U.S., you think it's fairly simple, but it's a little bit more complex than a lot of people think, and that's because we do a lot of different things. Roaster Company started back in 1954 when it was first organized, and the way we got our start is there was a gentleman by the name of Louis Phelan, and Louis Phelan was basically an inventor turned businessman, and he worked for companies inventing products such as Monsanto, Goodyear. He worked as part of the Panama Canal Project, et cetera, and some pretty cool things. But back in the 20s, he found himself running the Taylor Company. And I think everybody here probably has heard of the Taylor Company, the soft serve ice cream machines that you see at most fast food restaurants, et cetera. But he ran that organization for several years. And actually from there also started something, I want to say it's like Zestomatic or something like that, which is another custard machine, but he started that and it ended up turning into a franchise drive-in. So anyways, with that, back in 1952-53, he was in the Midwest, and anybody who knows in the Midwest, especially Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, it is supper club country. And wherever you go, not too many people know about supper clubs anymore, but there still are some around. And I tell you, I still frequent with them because they got great food, and talk about comfort food, they got it. And a lot of them there have their fish fries and their fried chicken. And while at one of these supper clubs, Louis decided to come up with his own method. And what he did was, you know what, we can make a better fried chicken. And he took a pressure cooker and an open fryer. And in 1953, he patented the first commercial pressure fryer into the U.S. So that's kind of where we got our start way back when. I'm going to say shortly thereafter, he developed his own marinades and coatings. So he had a specific taste profile. At the same time, I think people may have heard of Colonel Sanders. He was doing something similar. But Louis developed the marinades and coatings known as Chickite marinade and Slow Bro coating, which is still used today to make genuine Roaster chicken. So that's kind of where we got our start. And we've been running our business through a couple different ownerships. I'll just state on that real quick. Elko Standard Company owned us and some other food service equipment companies. And then this ownership group, we've had it since 1991.
Wow. Very cool. So, I mean, I'm going to back up a little bit because it's intriguing to me. First of all, I mean, you know, we always talk about restaurants or CPG and a combination thereof. So yours is a piece of equipment, and it actually kind of transcends and kind of slides around into, it's not a franchise, but it kind of becomes a program. And we'll talk about that in a second. I want to go back to supper club. So like, what's the difference between a supper club and a restaurant? Like, tell me more. I've never been to a supper club. I've heard about them. What is it? Is it actually a club? I mean, as crazy as that sounds.
No, it is the old school restaurant in the Midwest. And basically it's If you want to go in, if you go in hungry, you're not going to come out hungry. That's for sure. Gotcha. It's just an old school restaurant, white tablecloth restaurant. So back in the day, they were the higher end restaurant, which has since been replaced by a lot of the different, chains, steak places, et cetera. But people would go out there for big celebrations. And when they were going to go out in the town and they wanted to have a good dinner, they went to the supper club. But the thing that's interesting about the supper clubs in the Midwest is you would walk out there or sit down, and immediately you would have a relish tray, which would have everything. You would have crackers, you would have cheese, and then everything you ordered would come with a soup, a salad, the meal, and a dessert. So, wow. And everything was included, and it was basically you pay for that, and that's what you get. And you basically would look around, and all your neighbors would be there for their big meals of the week as well.
Very cool. Well, next time I'm in the Midwest, next time I slide into Beloit, I'll have to find a supper club. So
we got one right there called the Butterfly Club, and we'd like to take people there. It's awesome.
And I assume they sell roasted chicken.
Absolutely.
Of course. Excellent. Okay. So, the other thing that's really intriguing to me is, and I kid you not, I was a kid, I grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and somehow I knew the Broster name. I mean, there's baked chicken, there's fried chicken, but somehow I knew Broasted. And I mean, how did it permeate? Like, how would I know that? Like, were restaurants serving it? How did that all kind of come to be?
Well, it's interesting. And again, it all gets its stem from the Midwest, or I'll say upper central part of the U.S. So if you were to take the Dakotas over to Ohio, go mm-hmm. down probably to Kentucky, that is where the Broster market is. Gotcha. And what's interesting is we've really found is people have moved outside of the Midwest. That's how the name spreads. And while that is our strongest market that we have, what we see are people start to move outside of the U.S. And that's where the brand starts to build and the brand recognition starts to build. We actually, what's interesting is we had a partnership with a larger chain restaurant, and they were selling, and I'll just share it. It was called Bob Evans Roasted Chicken. Mm-hmm. We did a branding thing, and we were in all their stores. And what was interesting is they did their studies. They found that when they had Broasted on the menu compared to just Bob Evans chicken on the menu, there was a lot more market recognition and brand recognition, and people were going into the restaurants more where they called it Broasted. So mm-hmm. it's got a name. It's good. There's something about that name Broaster that not everybody can really put get a handle of what it means or what it stands for, but they know it, and that's what drives people to try it.
Now, are restaurants using that name now to enhance? We see co-promos with like, say, a Jack Daniel's chicken or things like different things on menus or, ribs or whatever. You mean, are people using Broasted as a marker and paying for a trademark there?
No, absolutely. They are using it as a marker. And we like to call it as Broaster chicken is a champion menu item. And what a lot of people will do with that is they'll take a section of their menu and they actually describe the cooking process, et cetera, and what it means. And then they'll have whatever meals that they serve there. But they will use Broaster on their menu. It's like, so I'm from, I live in Chicagoland area. Our company's in Beloit. But, a lot of people have Vienna beef for hot dogs mm-hmm. on their signs in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And for the same thing at these restaurants. And the way we've always sold to restaurants is this is your champion menu item. And it's worked for people.
And it's amazing. So I want to talk about sort of that brand, that trademark. It's a piece of equipment. It's a Broaster. So we have Broasted chicken. I mean, I can't really think of, and maybe I can't think of another brand tied to a machine that is part of like the trademark. So for instance, we have, kettle cooked chips. Well, it's not a trademark kettle. It's just, they say they're kettle cooked because obviously in food marketing, when you have a descriptor with it, it just makes it better. I mean, right. Himalayan sea salt or whatever, like it always sounds like it's better. So is there something else out there that has like a Broaster or that we would know that, you hear a name tied to it? It just seems so unique to me.
Well, it's a little bit different. And I want to take a step back here because Broaster isn't tied to the equipment alone. Okay. And like I said, when it was personally, when we were, incorporated in 1954, it wasn't just the equipment. It was the equipment and the marinades and coatings. So basically what it is if you want to call yourselves or say that you're using Broster chicken or serving Broster chicken, it has to have this. It starts with the marinades and the coatings actually uses the fryer. And then you have to use the process that we dictate on that to actually call it genuine Broster chicken. So it's not just the fryer. You want to call it Broster chicken, you have to use our marinades, our coatings, our equipment, and cook it to our process. Then able to call it genuine Broster chicken.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense then. I know it's interesting because that name is so like, I don't know, it's almost like Kleenex. I mean, people just know it. It's the brand is sort of like the product. There's trademark issues. I mean, people try to use your name. And I know that you have to track that down sometimes. In fact, I remember there was a time I was driving in the backwaters of New Jersey, headed to the beach, and I saw this big sign. It said, the guy said, you know, I said Broster chicken. It looked like he was handmade. So I reached out to you, and I know you'd looked into it. So talk about that, the trademark protection process and all that kind of thing.
So, you know, it's interesting, and it's actually, there's quite a bit of work there and protecting the trademark. So we do have something that's out there. And like you said earlier, a lot of people know what it, they know the name, but they're not really sure what it is. And one of the things we found is people have tried to say that Broster chicken is tied to the pressure fryer, as you mentioned earlier, not only the Broster pressure fryer, but any pressure fryer that's out there. In actuality, like I said, it's tied to the marinades, it's tied to the coatings, is tied to the pressure fryer and our equipment. So people out there, and actually some of our competitors will even say, well, you're using a pressure fryer, just go ahead and call it Broster chicken. Well, you can't do that. We have Broster, Broasted, genuine Broster chicken, and anything around the name Broast, Broster, et cetera, has been trademarked by the Broster company. So we own all those trademarks. Mm-hmm. So as people go in and let's just say we'll be nice, accidentally use the name, or sometimes accidentally on purpose use that name. We'll hear about it. And the interesting thing is, originally when I first got in the business, I'm like, so what do our distributors tell us about it? Do our operators tell us about it? How do we hear? We actually get more call from consumers than we do from the actual restaurants and our distributors, because they go in and said, hey, we went in for a genuine Broster chicken and it wasn't genuine Broster chicken. I want to let you know, because you don't want them using their name, your name, because it's not the same quality chicken. So our consumers are our biggest police for monitoring our brand.
That's fantastic. That's very cool. And look, you said it started in the Midwest, Wisconsin, to be precise, supper clubs, all that. But you have a business that's actually building outside of that. I mean, Middle East, India, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we actually, we've been international business for global business for as long as Broster has been incorporated, so to speak. We have distributors, or I shouldn't say as long, but quite a long time. We have distributor in the Middle East that we've been working with for, I think, the past 60 years. And we've been working in the Middle East, I'm going to say internationally. We have a strong market in the in the Middle East. We have a strong market in the Australia market, and then we have a very strong market in Canada. So those are the three markets that are really booming for us right now. And what we're also seeing is just like the U.S., as they get outside of the central U.S., we're seeing them as they get out of those three areas, they're starting to grow different markets. As people are seeing, people want Western brands, okay? Mm-hmm. And we give them opportunity to get in, like you said before, with a restaurant brand or something that looks and feels like a franchise, but it's not a franchise. And we're able to get into different food service venues internationally. And as people want this Western brand, they see genuine Broster chicken and they want it and they want to grab onto it. And it's been working very, very well for us.
Very cool. Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So, you know, we know about restaurant franchises and franchisees, franchisors, and, you know, you have Kentucky Fried Chicken, you have all these, but Broster kind of goes about it in a different way. So if I have a bunch of convenience stores, I could talk to you about a program. Isn't that correct?
Yes, absolutely. So we sell what we call a licensed trademark program. And basically what that means is you can go in if you want to use, like I stated earlier, the pressure fryer, our marinades and coatings and cook to our process, we will sign a licensed trademark agreement with you, and you're able to use that and advertise that at your facility. Now, what we don't do anymore is allow people to use Broster in their name, but we do allow them to use on their menu and say serving genuine Broster chicken, et cetera, but it couldn't be Michael's Broster chicken. for example. But yeah, so we sell it as a trademark program. We renew that every year with them. And through our distributors, we make sure they're doing it right. And if they're following the program and they're serving quality chicken, then we continue on with that agreement as long as they would like.
Yeah, and you don't want it in the name, because if Mike doesn't do a good job with the product, all of a sudden it really can affect your brand.
Exactly right. Yeah. Pulling a product, and you know, we've had the situation where people weren't serving to our quality, or you know, and the other side where they weren't properly using genuine roaster chicken, where we have talked to them and they pulled it off their website, pulled it off their menu, et cetera, because again, we want our brand represented correctly. Yeah.
And it's amazing because it obviously is a fantastic product, so much so that there's a really large convenience store that really hangs its hat on its chicken. I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of advertising about the quality of their chicken, and it's your product basically, right? I mean,
yeah. So I wouldn't say it's our product, but it's definitely using our equipment and our cooking methodology, so to speak. But, you know, Royal Farms Chicken in the, I want to say the North, I shouldn't say Royal Farms Chicken, but that's actually how they're becoming more and more known. But Royal Farms convenience stores, they used to just be in the Northeast, and basically now they're going up and down the Eastern coast there. But they're known for their chicken program. And we started working with them, I'm just going to say 5-10 years ago, somewhere in there, and basically have started using our pressure fryers. And they're selling more chicken and doing a great job. And the partnership that we've worked with them and developed with them has been a great partnership, because they do serve quality product. And as that's associated with our equipment and what it's producing, you know, that's something that we're proud to stand behind and proud to be partners with people like that. Now, one of the things as we go down this path a little bit, you know, as I said before, we make our marinades and coatings. We have equipment. We have different food products, et cetera. If an opportunity comes up and somebody is serving high quality chicken, but they want to use their own recipe, so to speak, and use their own brand, we do have a strong piece of equipment. We feel it's the highest quality pressure fryer out in the marketplace right now. We will partner with those companies. While they can't call up roaster chicken, they can still use our equipment and prepare, for example, Royal Farms chicken.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing, because again, what a great brand, Royal Farms. I mean, quality product, quality stores, great message. And they're really using your product to, they're known for your product, which is really kind of cool. I just wish you guys could get more halo from the marketing there, because, you know, again, they're drawing people in with their chicken. Is there other products that, I mean, I know that the machine is not quote unquote bros. It's a pressure fryer, and it's a quality product. Is there anything else that you've ever heard of people putting in that? I've read online, apple pies,
breakfast burritos. One of my favorite products, we don't have it anymore, but we used to have a frozen food product. There were mini cheesecakes. Oh, those are outstanding. But if you're just talking, those are all the healthy items. I've heard of people pressure frying Twinkies, hot dogs, et cetera. So you can almost do anything, but some of the ones that kind of stand out in my mind are pork chops, outstanding. Fish, Friday fish fries, you're using pressure fryer all the time. Some ribs are done in the pressure fryer, and being around the holiday season, one of the favorites is turkey. You can't go wrong with roasted turkey. There's definitely a big call out for looking to get the larger pressure fryers that we have and cooking up to 18-20 pound turkey in there, and it turns out phenomenal.
That's awesome. Now, only in the Midwest would you consider roasted chicken, cheesecake, and apple pie health food, but that's okay. I respect that. I respect
that's right. Look at me.
I respect that. Ribs. I know you mentioned ribs. I know you guys have a smoke-a-rama. Can you talk? It's another device, another piece of equipment, right?
Yeah, we actually purchased this company back probably about 10 years ago, and it was started about the same time Broster company was down in Oklahoma, and it was a company called Smoke Aroma. And they have really two products. And the main product that we are manufacturing and selling right now is called the Smoke Aroma Barbecue Boss. And it is a pressure smoker. And what I liked about this opportunity was it has pretty much the same functionality as what a pressure fryer does, but it's in a it smokes products. Mm-hmm. So you could smoke ribs in 45 minutes. You can smoke a brisket in 2 hours, which normally takes 12 hours. And basically, it does exactly what the Broster pressure fryer does. Is you are but you are using pressure and you're using the heated head to smoke a product, which is going to produce a moister product and cook it in much less time than you would have to be at, in an open fryer in the, with the pressure with the chicken or a you know, a smoker on the rib side.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you create another, again, I love the whole idea of the Broster. It's like kind of like you can create a franchise without franchise fees, right? Mm-hmm. You give people a reason to come to your store or their restaurant, whatever, and the product's great. Are you going to do the same thing with Smoke Aroma? Is that going to sort of stand on its own, or are you just trying to slide it in, or how's that going to work?
We, you know, that was originally started as an equipment company only and didn't have a program. We have since developed a program for them, and that's called Rock County Smokehouse. And we are working with convenience stores. I believe we have a couple down in Texas right now that are using the Rock County Smokehouse name and all the products that we have. And we had the rubs and the different marinades and different things that you can use for the smoke product as well, and use that as a licensed trademark program as well.
Very cool. So what do you see as, I mean, again, we talked about a large convenience store who's really kind of taking, no pun intended, you guys under their wing, because you're promoting their, I mean, they're promoting their brand through your quality product. What do you see as the future? Like where do you go from here? What's the growth opportunity?
Well, I think the growth opportunity for Broster is really focus on all facets of our business. Again, we got our start as a program, and I still think there's a strong opportunity out there for food programs, not only in restaurants. So when I say program in a restaurant, yes, it is a menu item, but it's kind of you have everything that you need with the Broster name and the Broster products to just drop that into your restaurant, and you're going to have a top quality restaurant or top quality menu item on your menu. But food service has expanded so far that you have convenience stores, you have college and universities, mm-hmm. you have grocery stores, et cetera, that are looking to put in programs, and they're looking to put in branded programs because it's something about a brand that grabs people's name. So what we're, you know, one of the main areas of focus is further developing out our programs to truly fit into C-stores, grocery stores, mm-hmm. College and universities, even prisons, et cetera, different things that we can do to get out there and get out in the food service marketplace and give them an option. The second thing is, as we were mentioned before with Royal Farms, we have top quality equipment, and our Broster pressure fryer, I'd put against anybody's out mm-hmm. there. And so what we're doing is looking out to, and we're actually, I shouldn't even say looking out. People are looking to us for other options for pressure fryers. And as they look to us, they see what we do on the program side. They know what our quality of the food that it produces. They start looking into it. So we are innovating not only from a how to go to market perspective to some of these opportunities, but also innovating from our equipment side. And for right now, for example, we've just introduced and we're putting out a new piece of equipment called the E-Series, E standing for efficiency, E-Series 24. And what that is that's an 8-head pressure fryer, but it also has an automatic lift as well as automatic oil management system. So we basically, you know, with in today's market, it's harder and harder to get labor. So we're innovating by deciding how to reduce some of the labor. So what we've done is taken out, I mean, we used to be able to, and still to this day, we have somewhere you drop the chicken in a basket and you have to pick the basket out of the oil and then dump the chicken on the side. Well, in all cases with the operational conditions that we have from a people perspective, it's getting harder and harder to retain people. We're giving an option where basically you load it on a tray and you push a button and it goes down into the oil. When it's all done, you push a button, it comes out of the oil, and all you have to do is pick off those trays of chicken, and it's much easier and faster method for the operator. So innovation, And then expanding our footprint into other food service markets.
That's super smart. I mean, I know, like, just from personal experience, we've been hired by some of the world's largest, I'll say, food service companies. And to your point, they want a branded program. So they can't just have a coffee shop on campus. They want to have, like, Pete's, whatever, Colombian coffee or whatever. They want to brand it to an experience. And what I always found amazing about your product / brand is it's already turnkey. I mean, there's a piece of equipment, you buy it, you then can make quality product, you have the seasonings, you have the program, and you have a name. And it's like you said, franchise without franchise fees. It's like, it's already known and it's already going to be a quality product. And there's something that seems so obvious to me about that I really feel has a tremendous opportunity. So it's very exciting. So on opportunities, I mean, like, you know, we hear about people, you know, you said about some people throw the turkey into the pressure fryer. Do you ever consider, you know, Thanksgiving was just here, people are still like burning their houses down and experimenting with turkeys and hot oil. I mean, do you ever have any thoughts on doing anything for the home? Is there ever any kind of consideration making sort of a product that people might want to bring into their house?
I will say we've been asked to come up with something, but when you're speaking of 360 degree oil under about 12 pounds of pressure, yeah, it's a little bit scary. I will be honest. I got to share a little secret not everybody knows. At my house, I do have a Brostrom pressure fryer in our garage. I do wheel it outside, but it cooks a mean turkey on the holidays. But yeah, right now we don't have anything for the home use at this point. And a lot of that is just from the liability perspective it sure would be great. I can tell you when I do roll that out of the garage, people drive by and start placing the orders, and I become the chef of the town to produce whatever they want to give me. So it's a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Well, in a way, I'm kind of glad you're not going to make it, because my wife personally always, whatever kind of new gadget thing that's out there, she buys. So I'm going to have to put an addition on my kitchen for all the stuff that we bought and don't use, because we have all these sort of things that are supposed to, quote unquote, sit on top of your counter. We don't have enough counter space for all the things that are, you know, making stuff. So
I get it.
that's probably good news. Well, I think that's, but it is very cool. I guess that led me to another thought, though. Because again, I feel like it's a no-brainer, this program. Is the whole idea of this hot oil pressure cooker, is that a bit of a hurdle you have to overcome? You know, let's say I have, maybe I have 20 convenience stores. I'm not part of the big chain, the national chains. I want to put a program in. I mean, is that a hurdle for some folks? Do they get nervous about that?
You mean as far as the oil and just the...
Yeah, just because it is what it is. I mean, is it a thing that you have to, like, explain to people? Because I'm sure, I know, I've seen your products. They're very safe and they're very well manufactured.
Yeah. I'm going to say, you know, for some of the smaller operators that are new to food service on the convenience store side, it may be something, it may be a hurdle that they have to get over a bit. But once they see us operate, once they get their hands on it, we do demonstrations, we do test and evaluations, we do different things like that. Once they get their hands on it, it's extremely safe. Look, at the end of the day, if I can operate one, anybody can operate one. But no, it's something, you know, if they're not in food service, it could be a hurdle. But, you know, we work with them. We have a great team that can really walk them through the process. And we have a great training program, not only on their site, but also in Beloit, Wisconsin, where we invite in operators, we invite in new distributors, and we put them through a extensive training class so they can really learn exactly not only how to produce the best product that possible, but also how to operate as safe as possible. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's one thing that we're proud of. We've never had a situation where anything's been at the fault of Brostrom, and that's because we build them safe and we build the top quality piece of equipment.
Very cool. I mean, is there anything else you'd like to talk? Like, what's your vision for, say, the next 10 years? Or, I mean, what are you thinking? What would you like to see happen? I mean, where's your head at? What are you looking for coming into the new year now? What are you hoping for here?
You know, I'd like to see Brostrom everywhere. I think, you know, the opportunity is truly out there. And we're just talking a little bit about it before is, you know, how do we take the innovation and really taking our innovation, I shouldn't say how, but taking our innovation out in the different areas and really focusing. If there is a true equipment opportunity, let's show them what we've developed. Mm-hmm. We're proud of what we've done since 1953, or 54, I should say. It's developed in 53. But look, next year, 70 years. 70 years of Broster is pretty exciting. So as we look into 2024, there's not a whole lot of companies that have been around that long. We want to get Broster everywhere. We want to continue to expand our footprint into different areas of food service. And we want to take the innovation we have from the food and the equipment side and get it in as many kitchens as possible. And really, just show off Broster. You know, two stories I want to share is, you know, one of the cool things about Broster, you mentioned it earlier, not a lot of people know exactly what it is they've heard about. We've also had people who basically, as people move, especially now more and more, are starting to move to the southern states because they want to get out of the cold, or let's just say the snowbirds that are going down to Florida. You know, they'll map out their trip and ask where the Broster operators are, and that's where they can go on our operator locator and find that. But another one is we just had somebody who was doing a special on a PBS station in which they were going through supper clubs of the Midwest. And the person said she had to do Broster. We said, how'd you hear about Broster? She goes, I grew up on Broster. She goes, as a matter of fact, my husband didn't know what Broster chicken was, but that's what they served at their wedding. So we want to continue to build those stories, and we want to continue to build the traditions with families, so, you know, centered around the Broster products.
Very cool. All right, so I've got two questions left, very simple. I'm always fascinated by how often people consume their products. So number one, how often do you eat Broster chicken? Or turkey, I guess, in your case. And then the other question is, if you had one final meal, what would you eat and where and why? And you can't say Broster.
Obviously, I'll start with... No, I won't say both. I'd like to, but I won't. But how often do I eat Broster chicken? We have a test kitchen. We're constantly doing different things to either test our equipment or test a product. So I'm going to say it's at least weekly, if not more. Will also say because I'm in the chicken business, I do like to taste other people's chicken just to see what it's like. And so wherever I have the opportunity to stop it and try somebody else's chicken, I definitely will. My wife looked at me once and was surprised because we were at a steak restaurant and I ordered fried chicken. I said, you got to test out the competition. So I'll have it often, but as a matter of fact, I just had a piece of General Broster chicken as I was leaving office yesterday. So I have it quite frequently. As far as my last meal, that's a tough one. And I'm going to say it's a toss-up, so I'm going to throw out two. I used to spend a lot of time. My daughter went to Northeastern University in Boston, and she played ice hockey for their team. And while out there, I fell in love with two restaurants. So I'm going to say there's two places that I would go. One's probably would be my, you know, if it would be my last meal, it would be Abe and Louie's Steak Place. And I would start with their onion soup. Get a good New York strip and some cream corn to accompany that. But so there's also some great restaurants in the North End, but I'm just going to say, Abe and Louie's by far is my favorite.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, Jay, thank you so much. The Broster story is an awesome one. I mean, the challenge is not challenge, but the goal is just to get the product in people's mouths, because if they do, obviously that's why people want to copy you. That's why people talk about you. And that's why people are building their convenience store brand around you. So that's congratulations on all the success. And 70 years is quite remarkable. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mike. This was great. Thanks again.
Awesome. Talk soon.